We're going to shift gears here, and because we've got a really important news that came out today, and speak with our friend Andy McCarthy is back on the show with us, contributing editor at National Review. He is the host of the McCarthy Report and a Fox News contributor. Andy, welcome back to the show. A real great honor to have you here with us today.
Andy, great to be with you.
So I saw the news earlier this morning that the Virginia Supreme Court temporarily halts the lower court's ruling. It has to do with the Virginia voter rolls. What can you tell? I mean, having the Supreme Court rule on something less than a week from the election is pretty wild in my mind. What do you think about this ruling today? What does it mean?
Well, on the point of the timing, you know, this has come up a lot because I've made the point to people that courts don't like to get involved in elections. And I think there's no question about that because they want the elections to be decided at the ballot box. They don't want to be perceived as being the deciding vote. But what they really don't like is being asked to intervene after the election is over, because then it looks like they could be shifting, like, which candidate won. Whereas if you get them beforehand and the issue is really only about the rules, like who's allowed to vote and what's the conditions under which they're allowed to vote. I'm not saying they love getting involved in those things, but there's a lot of things court have to, of course, you know, courts are in the problem business. So there's a lot of stuff they get dragged into that they prefer not. But it's a lot easier to get them to decide something that simply is about what are the rules of the game, rather than post facto, where it's like who won the game, and they don't want to be in that position. So yeah. I wasn't that surprised to see them intervene. The other reason I wasn't surprised to see them intervene is that the district court and the Fourth Circuit intervened in the last week. So it's not like the court, you know, the Supreme Court was sticking its nose in where no other court had gone before. And this really is a very strange litigation, and in the sense that I don't really see any rationale for what the Justice Department was doing except try to make it easier for people who were not allowed to vote to vote. Because what Governor Youngkin was trying to do, pursuant to a law that was passed and signed into law by Tim Kaine when he was the Democratic governor of Virginia, and then the Democratic governors of Virginia who followed Kaine enforced this law. The Justice Department in 2006 told Virginia what it was doing was fine. And the idea is you use databases of other agencies to match up to the voter rolls to see who is a non-American based on what these people themselves have told government agencies. And then one by one, this was the big issue in the case, was the Justice Department said, this is a systematic purge, and under federal law, you're not allowed to do that within 90 days of the election, which they call the quiet period or the quiet window. But this wasn't systematic. The fact that you use systems to match up the names didn't mean that they just lopped people off the voter rolls. They went one by one through the names that got kicked out, and they take them off the rolls on a one-by-one basis. But the thing that people need to understand, which was, I think, misrepresented by the people who were arguing in favor of the Justice Department, this idea that what it meant was that it was possible by bureaucratic error that American citizens could be taken off the rolls and wouldn't be allowed to vote. It's the law of Virginia that you can register on the day of voting, and if you're willing to attest that you're an American citizen, they have to let you vote. So there's no way that an authentic American citizen was going to be bounced off the rolls or not permitted to vote. And in the meantime, Virginia's law actually bolsters federal law, because under federal law, it's a crime for someone to attest that he's an American citizen in order to register to vote, and it's a crime for an alien to vote. So, you know, it was just a kind of a crazy case.
Yeah, you know, the fail-safe of the ability to cast that provisional ballot on Election Day ensures that everybody does get the chance to vote, but instead of kicking the door wide open and saying, well, they could be, it's possible that some of these individuals are citizens, so let them all vote. From 2020 till 2024, what do you feel about the efforts being made in various states to ensure that every American is entitled to one vote in an election. How do you feel about the changes that have been made?
Well, I'm philosophically coming at it from the other from the other direction. And that is that, you know, it's commonly said, and it's said so commonly that there's a lot of misunderstanding about this, that voting is a fundamental right. Okay? It's not a fundamental right. In fact, as the Constitution was adopted, the only thing that you were allowed to vote for was the member of Congress in your district. Beyond that, representatives in Congress, or state legislatures, rather, voted for the Senate, and electors voted for the president. There's a, you know, the framers were very skeptical about direct democracy because the history of it is that it eats up liberty and minority rights. So they wanted us to have a democratic republic, not a pure democracy. So that's the fundamentals of it. And then the other thing is there is a preference in the law of most states, and I think it's a sensible preference, that what we want is for you to come to the polls and vote in person, because that's the safest way to vote. Now, if that's your statutory presumption of your state, then it's perfectly fair for them to say, even though we would rather you came to the polls and voted, we're going to let you vote remotely. We're going to let you vote by mail. We're going to let you vote on days other than Election Day when everyone else is expected to come to vote. But if you're going to do that, you have to follow all of the rules for doing that, because we'd really rather you came to the polls. So I don't think it's incumbent on the government to bend over backwards to, like, correct the mistakes that are made for citizens when we'd rather have them come to the polls anyway. I think it's incumbent on the citizen to follow the rules and vote correctly. And it's not like we're talking about nuclear physics here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's not really hard to vote. It's really not difficult.
No, it's not. And you know, we of course talk about voter ID quite a bit and how it's not fun to go get your ID at the DMV, but it certainly is doable. And we are required to use identification for many, many things that we do in America. Voting seems like an obvious one, but alas, we don't have that requirement everywhere. Andy McCarthy, before we let you go, I love when people, especially of your expertise level, talk about democratic republics versus, you know, republics versus democracies and what the framers had in mind when they created our system of government. We hear the phrase threat to democracy in a really sensationalized way. We've heard it for a long time. Do you feel as though the election system as it is set up right now, is our democracy being threatened in the way that we're trying to change, that some people are trying to change how we vote?
No, I feel exactly the opposite. I'm always taken aback by people like, for example, the January 6th, the House January 6th committee, and the people who have the narrative that they have about Trump. And I obviously don't have any brief for the Capitol riot and the whole Stop the Steal thing. I thought it was a disgrace. But I thought the hero of the day was our democracy. And our democracy is so much stronger than the people who are always telling us that somebody is like, that our democracy is hanging by a thread and someone's a threat to our democracy. I mean, just take a look at what happened on January 6th. There was never any chance that Joe Biden's victory was not going to be ratified by Congress. The riot was a terrible thing. It was also a riot. It wasn't an insurrection. It lasted 3.5 hours. And if you compare it, for example, to the lethal rioting that went on after George Floyd's death, it doesn't hold a candle to that. There was such minimal damage to the Capitol that Congress was able to reconvene that night to ratify the election. They used to say, you know, but Trump may not leave. What if he doesn't agree to leave? The Constitution, our democracy that people like to talk about, we don't leave it up to the president to deign to leave office. His term ended at noon on January 20th. He was no longer president at that point. If he didn't leave office, he would have been escorted out of office.
Yep.
You know, that's not the way our system is an ingenious system, and I think it's far, far stronger than all these people who hysterically run around saying our democracy's hanging by a thread. It's absolutely not.
It's actually a pretty beautiful thing, when you put it that way, Annie McCarthy, to think about something that was formulated centuries ago, but still with a very young country, has been that the anticipation of what could possibly happen, we seem so far, at least, to have been insulated because we had some very wise people at the very genesis of this country.
Yeah, look at how many bird brains we know, and they can't break it up. They try.
And they come in every stripe and every color. Annie McCarthy, thank you for your time today. We appreciate your update on this Supreme Court ruling. Look forward to more rulings or more information on voter rolls as they continue to come out.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Annie McCarthy, a contributing editor at National Review, a Fox News contributor, former chief assistant U.S. attorney, Andrew C. McCarthy on X. Go check him out and tell him thanks for coming on the show. We love to be able to connect with him. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get some of your thoughts on the Annie Fry YouTube channel to the YouTube live chat poll. Do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage, as Joe Biden referred to them last night in some Zoom call? Russell says on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, I cannot speak for other Democrat elites as if they think Trump supporters are garbage, but I can say for sure the current president does. It's an interesting perspective. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. As the flag flies.